Welcome to Normal for Norway. I'm Seamus.
And I'm Indigo.
This is the podcast where each episode we dissect one weird thing about Norway.
So sit back, relax, and eat 47 million pizzas.
Frozen pizzas.
Specifically.
Was the quote, apparently.
Specifically, half of those being grandiosa, which is the main topic of today's episode.
Yes, grandiosa. So what is it?
Before we get into grandiosa, though, should we give them the news?
Yeah.
We do have a very important news update.
Yes, true.
So last time we talked about the terrible smell of Oslo.
Yeah, your street was stinking, but you didn't smell it, right?
Well, then I did. After you said that and we went out together, I did smell it. And then I smelled it multiple times later. And many other people actually commented on it throughout the days afterward. And then...
Yes, there was an article with the headline being, "This is why it stinks in Oslo." No, it's not dog shit or vomit. Such a disgusting title to an article. But basically, it's like, as the ice starts to melt,
yeah,
there's like some anaerobic bacteria that's been living under there that like digests the plants, like the grass, and then it produces butyric acid that stinks.
Yeah.
Because I think it must be a folk like knowledge thing. Mm-hmm. that it's dog shit. Because yeah. I heard that from multiple people.
So and many it people says said this that. In the yeah. thing.
And I did see dog shits emerging from the ice.
Yeah, but it's not enough to
No.
Be,
and I did think yeah. that myself. I was kind of like, maybe it's dog shit. But then, because remember we talked about it, and I was like, we both were like, it's definitely some yeah. bacterial anaerobic
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. But it's been a lot better. And the end of this article is so funny in Aftenposten, where it's like, Aftenposten has been in contact with like the city, like environment authorities, and they haven't received any henvendelser, like what would that be? Like any complaints about the smell.
What? Well...
We're complaining.
You didn't do your homework then because you were meant to write it.
No. But that's the thing is, I was going to contact the newspaper, and then this article yeah. came out, and then the best thing is that it's by my friend Abdurrahman Hassan.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wrote to him, and I was like, oh my god, we've been talking about this all week, and he was like, I had to convince my editor to let me write that piece because apparently they were a bit like, no, this is like not. Or it was just
worthy.
Kind yeah, he was kind of like, oh, it stinks.
That's rich.
He was like, it stinks in Oslo. And yeah. they were kind of like, But then he wrote it and it was super popular. Yeah. And I saw so many people reposting
No, because my other colleague also like just wrote to me today being like, because I was asking yeah. him before we left, do you like grandiosa? And he was like, of course I do. And then we were talking about that and he was like, why? And I was like, oh, I've got a podcast. And he was like, what? So he must be listening to it, because then he sent in like, I know what the smell is. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
We've already seen it.
Yeah.
A byproduct of anaerobic metabolism in the house of the microbacterias in the earth.
Yeah.
In the house.
In the house. Oh. In the home.
Horse. Like oh, home in
yeah.
New York.
Yeah. So anyway, that was the news.
Mystery solved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks to Abdurrahman. Shout out. Doing the good work of journalism.
Yeah. But moving from bad smells to even worse smells. No. We're going to talk about...
That's pretty rich coming from someone who just ate half of a grandiosa.
Yum. So grandiosa, it is a pizza, a frozen pizza, that is inexplicably popular in Norway. We're sitting here in front of the box.
Yeah, we're looking at it. It's a very striking visual design. It's got a pizza slice in the shape of a heart, and yeah. the tagline is "Vi snakker ekte kjærlighet," which means like we're talking about real love.
Yeah, and that. But is this our new thing? Because I remember when I moved here, it was a lot of like Valentine's Day, like advertising, people smooching, and then like a grandiosa like appearing, and then like eating it together.
Oh, yeah.
And falling in love.
Yeah, that ad was in the theaters, like movie theaters, for a while.
I'd love to see like the mood boards of the like branding agency like coming yeah. up with like trying to connect this frozen pizza with love.
Yeah, it's like a combination of, I feel like, nostalgia and like that kind of warm feeling, sort of like the same taco related things we talked about last
yeah.
time.
And written very prominently on the box is Norway's most eaten pizza.
Yeah, which, I mean, we already kind of alluded to, but it is indeed. And in fact, maybe the world's most eaten pizza.
I know. So because the thing that I found like alarming or shocking was that.
Alarming. Someone alert the authorities. Okay.
No, like when I moved to Norway, it's like, okay, frozen pizza specifically is so popular.
Yeah.
And actually, I did some of my own focus group research today.
Ooh.
I sent into 3 WhatsApp groups of which I am a member asking, do you eat frozen pizza?
Mm.
I didn't want to ask a leading question. I just asked that.
Yeah.
And most people I would say responded no.
Okay.
So this is like in our, like these group people would live in Ireland, the UK, maybe some in America. Most people were like, no, not really. Like, I would never even think to go to the frozen pizza section of the supermarket. We, like, at some point in Ireland and the UK, transitioned to chilled pizza.
Oh, like, it's yeah.
in the fridge, we in do, the supermarket.
Yeah, we do have that in the US, yeah.
And I don't know if it's a perception thing or if it actually is true, but to me, it tastes more delish.
Hmm.
So then I was really surprised. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so that was my utgangspunkt, like starting point.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, but do Norwegians actually eat a lot of frozen pizza in comparison to other countries? Or is it just that they only eat frozen and so therefore, you know, I was kind of like trying to figure this out. So anyway, I Googled frozen pizzas per capita, like consumption. I didn't even put in Norway. I don't think. I just wanted to see like an overview of like who eats the most frozen pizzas in the world. Norway eats not only the most frozen, the most pizza per capita in the world. Isn't that crazy? More than America.
Yeah.
More than Italy.
Yeah.
More than the UK.
That's also like side note, quite funny to me specifically because I think a lot of times when Norwegians ask me like, oh, what do you eat in America? They'll be like, you just eat fast food, right? Like pizza. Like
and
that's always, yeah, pizza and hot dogs. That's what they always say. And it's like, no, look in the mirror. That's what you eat. The call is coming from inside the house.
Truly.
Yeah.
So that was like what the intro was, that we, or like Norwegians eat 47 million frozen pizzas a year. And that's on a population of 5 million. So that's 10 each a year. And that's a whole pizza, presumably.
Yeah.
So it's not as many. It's not as shocking a statistic as the 100 hot dogs.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's way worse.
100, was it 100 a year? Not 100 a week.
A week.
We're getting confused over here.
You haven't had your hot dog quota for the week.
No, I've only had 50.
You've barely touched your 100 hot dogs. You've only had 99.
This is it. And anyway, of those then, half apparently are Grandiosa.
Yeah.
Which I like, but I don't know the maths, but I would say in other countries, like there's maybe, of course, much more pizzas being eaten. Because there's many more people, for example, in America.
Per capita.
But I would say that the market is much more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So it could well be that the Grandiosa is actually the most consumed pizza on the planet. And that is a scary thought. And with that, we end the podcast.
We leave you with that to contemplate.
The world just explodes. But like, what is the flavor?
Yeah. Well, we just had it. I don't think I'd had a Grandiosa for several years.
Really?
Yeah. Specifically Grandiosa. Like, I've had frozen pizza recently.
Uh-huh.
I liked it, I have to say. I'm going to tell on myself.
Yeah, I think we had the benefit that
we were starving.
Yeah. It's currently 6:30 in the evening here.
It's very late for dinner.
I've started saying 6:30.
Because
Norwegians, sidebar, Norwegians cannot understand me when I say 6:30, because obviously 6:30 in Norway is 5:30.
But that confuses me as well.
But what do you say in America?
You'd say 6:30.
But not just half.
You couldn't say half, yeah.
But would you really notice the little past missing?
In America, no, but because I have the Norwegian language influence, I get confused when you say that.
Yeah, because I had a Norwegian, or have a Norwegian friend who, when they moved to England, turned up to a meeting at like 7:30 in the morning, because the English people were just like, oh yeah, just like meet us here at like 8:30.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh yeah, 8:30 is
Yeah.
2-8.
Yeah.
But no, I always like, I get a bit annoyed because Norwegians sometimes try and correct me. And they're like, no, 8:30 means 7:30. And I'm like, yeah. No, it doesn't. Like, no dialect or no English that anyone speaks in the world do they say half. You just can't say 2:30.
Yeah.
It
no,
starts
I mean,
at 2:55.
I do agree with you in, like, principle, but I also understand why they're confused. But they shouldn't be correcting you. They're still wrong.
No, but anyway, I've adjusted. I've adapted. Right. I say 8:30 now.
Anyway,
so it was 6:15, and we haven't, like, covered this. We will maybe cover it in a future episode, but, like, the eating times in Norway are bizarre. Yeah. So I had my lunch, for example, today at 11.
I had mine at 11:30.
Yeah, okay, maybe it was 11:20 for me. But so it's been... It's been seven hours.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Lunch. Oh. And I didn't have a snack.
So we were starving.
Yeah. And there's an Irish shanuckle. What's that? Idiom? No.
Oh,
is
yeah.
it idiom? Which is
I don't speak Irish, so I don't know.
Shanuckle means old word.
Oh.
But it's like, you know, a piece of
a
wisdom.
Saying.
Yeah, like
an aphorism.
Yeah. What's an English one? The early bird always gets the worm.
Yeah.
Catches the worm. It's like that.
Yeah.
But this one is hunger is the best sauce.
Oh, yeah. That's, you say that a lot. That's whenever we eat super late. when you haven't made.
That a lot.
What? Yes, you do. You do say that a lot.
Is mahan tanlan an tokris.
When I come over and, like, you've invited me for dinner and then I get there and dinner's not made.
I serve
and then...
up, like, porridge on a plate.
No, 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 but it's like you haven't started making dinner and then we eat it at like 9 and you're like, hunger is the best.
There you go. No, but so it's difficult, right, to discern, like, was that actually tasty or were we just completely starving?
No, but the thing is, I would say that actually was kind of tasty because as well, we can get to this, but like people I also surveyed at my work were like, yeah, the best time to eat that is when you're like drunk. And the thing is, we're not drunk. And I feel like if we had...
Speak for yourself.
Showing up here like that. If we had eaten this like after a night out and been like, oh, that was delish, obviously I would question our judgment.
No. It was delish.
But it's like
delish.
We were fully sober. And yeah, we were hungry, but like,
okay.
It was good.
Yeah,
like,
let's describe it.
I would eat
it.
That again.
Okay, it was like... It was a pretty crisp... My mouth is watering.
I have another one we can make.
No, so because we didn't eat the classic one, we ate the pepperoni one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm like swallowing the like liters of spit that are coming into my mouth. That's actually, yeah, that's another funny Norwegian phrase. Instead of saying my mouth is watering, yeah. I get water in my mouth.
Yeah.
Jeg får vann I munnen.
Vann I munnen. Jeg får vann I munnen.
Jeg fikk vann I munnen. Okay, so it was like, yeah, crispy base. But the thing with it is...
Wait, actually, about the crispy base, it said to leave it for 3 minutes to get the crispy.
Didn't.
Oh, we left it for like 2 minutes. I did try to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, crispy base.
Yeah, because it says it's like there's 3 steps for how to produce, prepare it. And then it says at the end, pizza hack.
Yeah.
For extra crispy base, let the pizza rest for 2 minutes after porist. What's that? Oh, on the tray.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But... anyway, yeah, so thin crispy base.
Okay, yeah, and actually you can see it here in the picture. Mm. There's no crust.
Yeah, which
it's weird.
Like.
What?
No, I like it. And the reason I like it is because they've put the toppings and the cheese all the way out to the edge of the pizza. So it's like optimizing the
but
flavor.
Like, it's kind of hard to hold.
Yeah.
You have to like, kind of like have your middle finger and your thumb sort of like together and then
like a canapé.
Yeah, and then
I liked
like
it.
Drive with the index.
I think
finger.
It's an innovation.
Yeah, anyway, it was like a very like crispy base. At least it wasn't like soggy.
Not soggy.
And it but I would say it's too crispy.
Oh.
It's like a biscuit or like a cracker.
Hmm.
A bit.
It almost like a knäckebröd with påleg.
It's a conspiracy. yeah
maybe. I remember when I was a Grandiosa hater when
Whoa.
I first came to Norway.
God, you're coming out with so much stuff today. I like that there's no crust. What? I used to be a Grandiosa hater. What?
Yeah, like when I first...
I'm not drunk. What?
When I first came here 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fully drunk. No, I remember I had it and I described it as like toppings on cardboard.
Yeah,
but now I like it.
Okay, cardboard, I'm going to come back to that later because I have some tea about that. But let's first cover, okay. Yeah, so the classic one is, I think, inexplicable in the decisions or like the kind of choices that they made of their, what 20% apparently of Norwegians would call their national dish.
Yeah.
So it's ham that's been chopped in a really weird way. It's like in small, what would you call those?
Julienned
ham. Red pepper.
Yeah.
And cheese.
Yeah.
Jarlsberg.
Yeah.
Norwegian cheese.
Of course.
Which, if we spin the pizza box over,
yeah,
they have a lot of like
Jarlsberg propaganda.
Yeah, or like it's a lot of real estate like I would say,
yeah,
27% of the back of the pizza box is basically a huge ad for Jarlsberg, and which is kind of another, I wouldn't say conspiracy, but okay. So Grandiosa is 50% of the frozen pizza market.
Mm.
Frozen pizza market is presumably nearly the whole pizza market because I've never seen a chilled pizza here.
No.
Or maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
But the people that make Grandiosa, Orkla,
mm.
they also own the next most popular pizza company, which is called Big One.
Mm.
We were going to do a piece about the competitors, but we are not doing that because with a gun to my head, the camera zooms out. There's an executive from Grandiosa behind me. They're all disgusting and you should never try them. But they own 70% of the market.
Yeah.
And then they're in cahoots with Jarlsberg, which is made by Tina, which owns what percentage of the cheese market?
Mm.
80%.
Mm.
There's no escape.
Yeah.
Sit down and eat your Grandiosa and stop asking questions.
If you just eat the Grandiosa, everything will be fine.
Yeah. So it's, tomato sauce, ham, pepper, weird, and cheese. But in fairness, I was looking at the ingredients. It is, oh no, the other one said what percentage of cheese it was, like 20% cheese. I thought that was a pretty good number.
You put, 21% Jarlsberg on here.
Yeah, that's, I mean, they're not scrimping on the cheese.
And the cheese was good.
Do you think Jarlsberg get like some kind of kickback for having that much space taken up on the thing? Like, do you think they're like giving them a discount because it's like free Jarlsberg advertising?
There's got to be something going
on. Now we're getting into the commercials.
Yeah.
We need to go. If we were serious about this podcast, we would have done some corporate espionage and spent 6 months working at Grandiosa to understand the commercial deals involved and so on.
Yeah, but we didn't.
No, so we didn't.
We just have to create conspiracy theories.
But that's essentially what it is. It's like a frozen pizza that I'm sure you all know. I used to eat them a lot when I was a child, and then at some point they kind of just stopped being eaten that much. I mean, a few people did reply, yeah, I eat frozen pizza if I'm like really tired and I just cannot be bothered cooking.
Yeah.
And it's like I just maybe would get it in the freezer as like a backup.
Sure.
But that's the difference with Grandiosa. It's not, it's like, it's an event in itself.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
It's true. History, brief history, which actually was on the back of this box.
Yeah, because you see this thing here.
Yeah. So the way the story goes is that at the end of the 70s, pizza in general, like obviously not just frozen pizza, but pizza was just like very exotic in Norway. And then there was like some executive of the company Stabburu. What's it called?
Yeah.
Which
is like under Orkla.
Yeah. And
maybe didn't used to
make a lot of Pålegg.
This is the conspiracy.
See? Mm-hmm. And so basically that executive, I don't remember exactly how it went. I'm sorry. I can't be bothered to actually look this up. To everyone who complains that we don't do research.
Oh, no, but it says it here.
No, but it goes into more detail on their website.
Oh, but it's basically like your man is like, here, I need some pizzas made. And then the guy is like, the guy asks this factory in Stranda.
Yeah.
Can you make me a pizza?
And they said, yes. They were like, sure. Because I guess they had kind of like the capacity of the factory.
Yeah, he's like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course I can.
And then apparently this is like the historical, whatever, the joke or something.
Yeah.
That he's like, of course. And then he turned to his wife and said, what the fuck is pizza?
Call pocket a pizza for nokka.
Yeah.
But what is pocket?
Pocket. It's kind of a nicer way of saying like, buffon. Like,
oh.
Well. No, but it's like, it would be like, what the hell is pizza? You know?
This is a family-friendly podcast.
Explicit. Yeah, but there was some other details, like, I'm sorry, I'm too tired to look into it, but, like, the guy had gone to, like, Canada, and then, like, at first they were importing pizza, frozen pizza from the U.S.,
right.
But apparently, like, the flavor was not working for the Norwegians, like, they weren't enjoying
too
it.
Too much.
Yeah, it was too much, of course.
Ikke mild.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Not mild.
And so then, yeah, it was kind of like, okay, we're going to produce it in Norway, and they sort of, like, tailored it to Norwegian taste, but then it really took off.
Yeah, it says from 1993 till 2000, the sales of Grandiosa doubled. And
right, yeah.
The pizza secured its place as one of Norway's national dishes.
Right.
So that makes sense because 90s was the era of frozen pizza, I think.
Mm.
Or like for me.
Yeah.
yeah, which make, like, I remember eating, you know, not a lot of frozen pizza, but like a fair amount.
Yeah.
In the 90s. And then it kind of like went away. But here...
It never went away. Yeah, and I mean, this also fits... Honestly, this fits really well with the taco conversation we had because someone was saying, like... this was, like, one of these experts, I don't know, historian or something, who was saying, like, yeah, when people were, like, had a full weekend... Because, like, work habits kind of changed in, like, the 70s or something.
Right.
And then suddenly it was kind of like, oh, you have a family, and it's Friday and Saturday is sort of, like... that evening you're like chilling with your family and then it turned into like cool sequel, like you're gonna have your sweets and your like easy meal and you're gonna all watch a movie or something.
I love sweets now.
and then like frozen pizza was kind of one of those family friendly meals, so it's like pizza and taco, like those are two very typical things. And it's also, I mean, I think there is a nostalgia factor, but yeah, it is sort of an event, like you say. Like, I don't mean an event as in an occasion, but it's like, it is something that is sort of like koselig.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I'm also just looking here, and in 2005, so they seem to run these like pizza elections where they will like kind of put forward like, okay, these are the potential new pizzas that will. Oh my God.
What?
So they put forward like, these are the potential pizzas that we're going to like launch, and then you have to like vote on them.
Yeah.
And in 2005, the variations were taco pizza, or hot dog and tomato. But it was the taco, thank God, won. And it took over the market. Then they brought out milled taco, because presumably the actual taco one that they had some spice in it, so they had to make like a mild one.
Of course.
Yes.
All right, so that was a brief history. I'm sorry to everyone who thinks that wasn't enough research. I feel like I get that complaint so much. Do people complain to you about the fact that we don't do enough research?
No, I'm like, they're like, you're doing too much research. I feel too overwhelmed with the amount of information that you're providing me. My mom actually said that.
Oh, really?
She was like, so complicated.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah.
How was it eaten?
Yeah, okay, so, well, we had it with rømme dressing.
Yeah, because that was so important. I made a major mistake in not buying a rømme dressing in the first place. Yes. I went to the store and it just completely slipped my mind. But basically it's just, sour cream dressing. I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a dip.
It's like, we were talking earlier about ranch.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like ranch?
It's similar to ranch,
What is ranch?
Well, ranch has like dill and like onion and garlic powder and is like a bit more sour. But I would say there is a similarity for sure. And I think that they use it in the same way that Americans use ranch, that you would use it as like a dip, but also kind of as a salad dressing. Like it can be either.
Yeah. Because, so the ingredients are basically sour cream, bit of mayonnaise, bit of sugar, and then it's like garlic, paprika, black pepper, onion.
Yeah.
A lot of E numbers, some chives, more E numbers.
It's good. My mouth is watering.
I'm getting water in my mouth.
Yeah.
But it's basically, if you know Domino's.
It's essential.
What's the Domino's?
Yeah.
Garlic and herb dip.
Yeah.
Basically that. But, alarming thing. Again, I'm looking across at the police station, kind of like Morse code. Help me. When I came to, because we have the garlic and herb thing, like of course with Domino's or any kind of like delivery pizza.
Yeah.
And if you're doing a home pizza, we would maybe just use mayonnaise.
Ew.
You never do that?
Ugh, no.
Maybe it's an Irish thing. Hey. Anyway, but I think we just got inspired by the garlic and herb dip thing. And then we were like, okay, this is another white gelatinous substance.
Sauce. Ew.
That we can dip our pizza into. But wait, where was I going?
I don't know. Did you have some kind of fact about...
Yeah, I had a point to make. Oh, yeah. No, okay. So what alarmed me when I came... Yeah. We can edit this out, right? What alarmed me when I came was, okay, we would eat the pizza up until the crust, because our pizzas have a crust on like this. Yeah. And then we would dip the crust into the dip.
No.
Not here.
No.
Here, you either just pour... Like, it's in a tub. You pour that onto... the like main part of the slice with the toppings, or you get a spoon and you put it on, and then you're eating it as if it's like, I don't know what, it, like as if it's just an extra topping to the pizza, and then there's no crust, so you don't even dip it in.
Oh, so good.
That I thought was weird, and I said that to my friend that lives in the Netherlands, and she said that they do the same thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of the dressing, my colleague today told me that when they launched, like, they called it like Leur Dog's Favorite or something. Yeah. There was like a special pizza they launched in the early 2000s. Uh-huh. And it actually came with frozen dressing. Like, the frozen pizza had dressing on it, and then you would heat it up. And he said it was horrible.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because I think part of the thing about dressing is like
it's cold.
It's cold, and it's obviously it's sour cream, right? So it's like a cream based. Like, when you heat up something that is creamy, it can go very wrong.
No. I mean, I thought that, like, because when you said, I asked you, do you have the Duma dressing? You said no. I went to the like shop that's between where we live. They didn't have it. They only had this other Roma dressing, which isn't really designed for pizzas. It's more like watery.
Designed. A team of Norway's finest minds, culinary minds.
What's it called when God designs? Divine. What is it?
Oh, God. I don't even know.
We're creationists now. Yeah. In specifically just with regard to Roma dressing. No, but I had to go and get it in the shop because I was like, I love it now. I'm like fully converted to like the thing of pouring it onto your slice.
Yeah, you went out of your way to go get it.
I'm gonna be such a freak when whenever I leave this country. I'm gonna have picked up so many strange habits. But then I saw they also, okay, Pepe's introduced it apparently. Roma dressing, which is the other big pizza thing in Norway.
That's so interesting because Pepe's is from the U.S. Or I mean, like, so like the concept, not the brand, but the concept was like brought from the U.S. Like, famously, the founder of Pepe's was, like, in the U.S.
And yeah.
And was like, oh, I love this. So I wonder if it is something that somehow evolved from that, or if it was just him being, like...
It's probably the garlic and herb dip, like the Domino's thing. And then they just called it something else. Maybe Roma dressing was already a thing in Norway. But then I saw this other thing that was called pizza dressing. I'm like, what is that? It's, you know...
I think it's the same, isn't it?
Okay, wine pairings. Okay, so I found somebody asking... politely on a wine like website or some kind of like chat forum, I'm gonna have a Grandiosa, like, what would you recommend for wine? The vitriol that this person was met with. The first response was, well, are you serious? Are you seriously gonna have wine with your cardboard? Which you mentioned earlier, cardboard seems to come up a lot. But then in fairness, they're like, then you can check here and there's like a wine or like a thing. Someone else says, go onto like the Wine Monopoly website and sort by like price per liter of red wine, then find the cheapest. That's going to be the closest thing you get to a match with Grandiosa and red wine. Someone also, which I haven't included here, but it just said, nay. Just no. And then we had, oh, this one, I was like, okay, Katrina. With pizza, you must... What does nesten mean?
You should really be drinking.
Yeah, so with pizza, you should really be drinking milk. Perfect.
That's
combination.
Honestly psychotic.
I know. And then she says, if you're really going to drink alcohol, you should probably have beer. Wine with pizza? Are you crazy, man? But
that's not crazy at all. That's like...
But in fairness, then Katrina got dragged. By other people in the thing being like, you're so uncultured. What are you talking about? Red wine and pizza is like such a classic. Blah, blah, blah. And then someone at the very last comment, this whole thread kind of like resolved itself, was just very politely like, I think a Pinot Noir or a lighter variety. A lot of people were saying lighter varieties because it doesn't have that much flavor. Something French, fresh and young, or maybe something Italian, Chianti or Barbera. So there you have it.
Gosh. Well... next time we'll have some wine with her. Grandiosa.
Yeah.
I want to touch on the fact that it's a source of kitchen fires. and I think this just goes with the thing we're talking about, like, that it's a lot of people have mentioned, oh, I would eat that when I was either like drunk or hungover. I mean, okay, if you're hungover, you're probably less likely to start a fire. But I remember when I was an exchange student, actually, there were ads that were run by like the fire, like whatever, the brombes, no? Like the, yeah, I don't know, fire service. And they were basically just like a frozen pizza that had been completely charred to a crisp.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, having a midnight snack could be deadly. And like, because it's super, super but common.
But does a pizza really go into flames?
No, but so I looked this up. Like, what actually happened was I found an anarchical article that was pizza fire minute for minute.
Yeah.
And basically, like, in Norway, there's this, you know, whole, like, slow TV trend of, like, minute for minute.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so they did pizza fire minute for minute. And the thing is that it doesn't...
It's like you've watched paint dry. Now.
You've watched a train go across the country.
Yeah.
The thing is, no, like, to answer your question, it will not just spontaneously combust. Yeah. But what will happen is it will get more and more burned and it causes smoke.
Mm.
And that is very, very dangerous. And, you know, with fires, like, it doesn't have to be in full flame for it to be really dangerous because it's just causing all of this smoke that people are inhaling. And, like, that's what can kill you, right? Now,
killed by a grand
No, but I was going to say the thing is, because then I went on a website where it was like a fire news website.
Love it.
Yeah. And a guy had written this like really, really long opinion piece. Like
opinion piece.
So long. Yeah.
To be taken with a pinch of salt.
Exactly. But he basically was kind of up in arms about the fact that like they were putting up these ads about how, yeah, midnight snack can be deadly. And he was like, it's not going to kill you. And then went through like so many detailed things about like a typical grandiosa consists of like this many carbs. If we assume that like it's at this temperature, this is how quickly it will did all this science.
Yeah.
But the point is, yes, it's not going to kill you, but it could cause a pretty bad smoke situation. And it's super common in student housing that fire alarms go off in the middle of the night because of these
fires. Pizza brand minute for minute, did it actually become a fire then? Pizza fire minute for minute, did it become a fire?
I don't think it ever actually became a fire. No.
Oh, okay. So our advice to our fans from, we're now sponsored by firesafety.no, I suppose, is turn a timer on your pizza.
Mm.
The one that actually turns the oven off.
Oh, that's so smart.
And so even if you wake up in the morning and you forgot your pizza, at least you won't have suffocated on the fumes from your own grandiosa.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
Yeah. No, it's...
no one wants to go that way.
No. My God.
Okay, but... why is it so popular? Because we've talked about it a lot. It doesn't seem like what I don't understand is it's not that special. It's fine. It's delicious. We just ate one covered in like ranch.
Yeah. I think we're just getting back to the same thing that we always do, which is that Norwegians are super nostalgic. And if they get good marketing, it will last for 30 years. Like, it really is the nostalgia thing. I mean, we saw this, we found this article that during the first few months of Corona, like grandiosa sales increased by over 6%. And it was just people, they asked the people at grandiosa, like, why are people eating so much of your pizza? And they're like, it's just a comfort thing. Like, they just want something that makes them feel good, you know? And I asked my colleagues about this as well. I was like, in what situation would you eat this? And they said, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, that was like a treat.
Yeah.
And they had these positive childhood memories. And there was really good marketing as well with the TV advertising. We were watching the video earlier.
That had 800,000 views on YouTube.
Yeah, they made, we can put in a tiny little clip that won't get us sued, but it's like they made these songs. The one called Respect for Grandiosa.
Which I've heard at a party. When you played it, I was like, oh yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, Respect for Grandiosa.
Yeah.
Respect for Grandiosa. Har du hørt, har du sett, har du
sjekket det siste? And it's like, I just think the marketing has been really good, and maybe they're coasting a little bit on that.
And they're a monopoly.
But they're a monopoly.
Kind of. Well, we don't want to get sued. They're not a monopoly. Mm. They own some percentage of the market share. But yeah.
Yeah.
Why
do you think it's popular?
Yeah, I think it's that. Well, it's probably a variety of things. It's like, obviously, it's convenient, like all frozen pizza. You throw it in the oven. It's also probably like, even though it's expensive in Norway, it's like as a meal, it's not that bad. Like you can get one for, I'm looking here, 55 kroner.
Yeah.
That's 5 euro.
I think I paid, 59.
Which like for a meal in Norway that you cook at home is pretty good. There's no washing up. That's mm-hmm. another thing with it. People eat it on the box. You know, like you cook the pizza and then you put the pizza on the box and eat it off the box. I wouldn't personally do that.
Seamus didn't let me do that, actually.
I just think it's like, where's that box been? It's been touched. You know, someone that works in supply chain, it's been touched by a lot of different people. You don't necessarily want to be eating off that surface. I think I actually saw an article about this being like, do you know what you're eating off when you eat off your Grandiosa box? And it was like, blah, 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 blah.
Scary.
But I was talking to ChatGPT about this. And I was like, why do Norwegians like Grandiosa so much? She had like a load of reasons. And then I just, to be cheeky, replied, but it tastes bad. ChatGPT put me in my place and said, taste is subjective. And what one person considers to be bad may be different from what another person considers to be good. While it's true that some people may not enjoy the taste of Grandiosa or frozen pizza in general, it's also true that many Norwegians do enjoy it. It's important to keep in mind that taste preferences are influenced by a variety of factors, including cultural background, personal experience, and individual taste buds. Okay, but I think she's touching, or he, what gender is ChatGPT? They? I think they're touching on something there with the cultural background. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if you look at this box, Grandiosa, it's like very Norwegian. Like they've got a Norwegian flag on the front. It's made with Norwegian cheese and meat. It's got the Jarlsberg thing. It's got a little picture of the cow saying,
it's got like a fjord.
A fjord, and then saying cheese made from milk from Norwegian cows. And I think it is, it's in some ways like a symbol of like nationalism.
Yeah.
Grandiosa.
Yeah.
But I also think, and this is shading my friends / the people that responded, the ones that do eat frozen pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that are definitely not food snobs. And so I think frozen pizza is kind of like the modern food of the people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like very, you know, you're no bullshit guy. You just like your like simple Grandiosa. And I think that's part of like the Norwegian national character.
Yeah.
It's like Janteloven in a food. Mm. It's like, I don't get above myself. I just have my Grandiosa.
Yeah.
And I have one more statistic, which is from the Pew Research Center. You know that? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. This was a tweet that they sent out a couple of years ago, 2017, I think, which a question was like, percentage who say they completely / mostly agree with the statement, our people are not perfect, but our culture is superior to others. And Norway had like the highest percent in all of Western and Central and Northern Europe. So 58% of people agree with that statement.
Whoa.
Whereas like in Germany, it's 45. In Ireland, it's 40. In the UK, it's 46.
In France, it's only 36.
Yeah, which is surprising to me. Greece is like the highest in all of Europe, of course, because in fairness, they did invent modern civilization. We'll let them have that.
Their culture is literally the bedrock.
But you know
like
what I mean?
Western
and I feel like somehow these two things are connected. It's like this national pride, which is obviously very strong in Norway.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people when they come here are surprised at how many flags are flying everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in Ireland, we don't have that many. In the US, you do, depending on your political leanings, maybe.
Well, but that's the thing, right?
But here it's
it
just
is political. Yeah, here it's
like,
not.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just fly my flag. And I think maybe the Grandiosa has, it's successfully managed to attach itself to the national psyche. So we must applaud the marketers of the Grandiosa.
Yeah, get in touch.
And the Norwegian cows that made the milk that goes in the Jarlsberg that goes on top.
Thanks, cows. Moo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
That's it.
Will we have the second one?
Maybe. Yep.